In our Sunday school class, we've been studying the book of Revelation. Had a lot of questions this morning. Man, what a great Sunday school class. And thankful for our young adults there. To ask questions out of the book of Revelation mean they were reading the book of Revelation this week. And that is a blessing. And so praise the Lord. Get your Bibles out this morning. Open up to the book of John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Again, it's good to see you this morning. Cody, can you give us a quick weather forecast? Just looking outside, give us an update of how things are. Mixed rain, flurries. All right, thank you. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. No big deal. It's not going to stay. 4 o'clock, yeah. I bet. I need my message. All right, John chapter 3 and verse 1. Again, as I said, I am glad you're here this morning. I pray that service will be a blessing to you. And, this past week, did a little extra. Appreciate you praying for me. I got real sick. What night was that? Tuesday night into Wednesday. I was under the weather. A lot of you had it, so we can talk about it. Don't give it back to me. I don't want it. You can keep it. I don't know, got a lot of extra rest and just studying some things and studying the Word of God. And it depends on where you're at in your life. Depends on where you're at the moment. It's amazing how the Word of God can meet your needs so perfectly. When you're down, it lifts you up. When you're wrong, it corrects you. When you're wandering, it gives you direction. And it does that all within 2-3 verses sometimes. I'm thankful for the Word of God. It's good to know that, as we stand here today, I have no advice for you. I have no wisdom. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says about things. And I pray that the Word of God touch your heart. And wherever you're at, whether you're down and you need some encouragement, whether you're doing wrong and you need some correction, or whether you're wandering and you need some direction, that the Word of God would meet those needs. It can. It's available. Whether we allow it or not, I am thankful for the Word of God. John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, I'm thankful for our church. Not the building, but the people. Lord, I'm thankful for each and every person that has walked through the doors today. And God, they encourage my heart. God, I pray that as a body of believers, that you will be pleased and honored and glorified with what happens here. Lord, I pray as we look at this message that our hearts would be touched and convicted and prompted to action. Lord, help us this morning. Lord, I pray you just calm my spirit. Calm my mind. Help me to slow down. Lord, help me to just rest in you, even at this moment. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd give me the words to say, the words not to say. Lord, I need your help. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In our life, we get into maybe jobs or projects. I know I was talking to a family this past week and had, at your house, sometimes things go bad and all of a sudden, hey, what are we going to do? And how are we going to fix this? And then we do some research and realize, hey, I can do this project myself. I don't have to hire that out. Isn't that a blessing when you realize I can save myself a considerable sum of money by doing it myself? Now, it's going to probably take 3 times as long and maybe a little heartache, maybe a couple more gray hairs or loss of hair, but I can do it myself. But I need someone to teach me. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, comes to him by night. He's not ashamed, but he is nervous about any sort of identification with Christ. This is contrary to the things and teachings that he's been part of all his life. This man is a Pharisee. And he comes to Jesus by night, and he approaches him, and he starts off with his calling him out, and he calls him Rabbi. And he says, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." This morning, I'd like to remind you that Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher this world has ever seen. Maybe you can go back in your school career or college career and remember certain teachers that made impact in your life. That's what we try at Lake Ontario Baptist Academy, not just to count up how many windows are on the side of the building, or count up not how many apples are in the basket, or not only to be able to identify the difference between a direct object and an indirect object, not to know the dates of when the Constitution was done. Know all of those things, yes, but truly to connect with their heart. Jesus Christ did that every single time. He is the greatest teacher that had ever touched foot to this earth. So when I need help, know where I go? I go to Christ. Because he knows it all. As the choir sang, he knows just what I need. And he teaches me and leads me and guides me. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Therefore, whosoever heareth, in verse 24, sorry, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. And it fell not, it says, for it was founded upon a rock. Hey, the teachings of Christ are still good today. Yeah. He says, the Pharisee comes to him, Nicodemus, by night, and says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles except God be with him. I taught for a good number of years. I never had a student come to me like that. I had a good connection with my students, but not to that degree. Never an accolade of that. And how does Jesus respond to Nicodemus? He says, "You're amazing. You're an amazing teacher." And how does he respond? "You must be born again." Know what he's doing? He's teaching him. He's explaining to him because Jesus knows just what we need. So he comes and he's like, "Hey, I'm a teacher, you're a teacher, but I don't teach how you teach. What are you doing? How are you doing this?" And he looks at Nicodemus and he says, "Okay, here, let me explain to you how to create a lesson plan. Here, you need flannel graph. I'm telling you, flannel graph is the key." No. That's not what he said. He didn't say, "You need to make all of your points end with the same sound, so it's or start with the first letter." He didn't say any of that. Nicodemus is trying to get information about Christ and all of these things. And he, again, identifies him as a great teacher. He's coming to him for help. And what does he say? He says this, "You must be born again." Amen. Ever come to Jesus with something and say, "Here, Jesus, here's my problem." And he responds with this, completely different than what we ever asked. Why? Because he knows our needs. And when he knows our needs, what happens? I think I got this life figured out. When I come to him, he reveals himself and shows things for what it actually is and gives me a foundation that will be able to withstand when the rain starts coming down. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." So we were introduced first to a wise man. What did he do? He built his house upon a rock. Which built his house upon... The second man is the foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, just like it did on the man that built his house upon the rock. There are certain things, listen to me, there are certain things coming in your life that you cannot see. And it's going to hit you no matter whether you built your house upon the rock or upon the sand. And Jesus knows. So he sends you and he says, hey, build here. Build on me. Why? What's the problem? What's the big deal? I don't know. Anybody ever see sand? Emily, have you ever seen sand? Where do you usually see sand? There we go. Who wants a beach house? Yes. Rocks? Let me see. Not as nice a view. A little harder terrain. Tough to do kickball. All that. No. I got this great place down by the beach that I want to go. I got this great place that I want to go with my life. I'm going to build over here. And God says, no, I got something over here. No, you're going to want to build over here because something's coming. It's going to rain. It rained on both of them. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And the Bible says, and it fell. And it didn't just fall. And it says, and great was the fall of it. Hey, when you build your life on anything outside of Jesus Christ, you're asking for trouble. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher that ever touched ground here. I love that verse in John chapter 7. The officers answered, never man spake like this man, speaking of Christ. The teachings of Christ. Praise the Lord, we have them. Bound in a textbook for us. The textbook of life. Not when we get in trouble, but every single day. Matthew chapter 28. I love Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. I love being part of it. This past week I had the blessing of being in the classroom for a couple days. Man, it was neat having a class again and answering flags. And when I do that, though, I don't get to do other things, but I do love it. I love school. I love the school. I love coming in the morning. I love standing there watching the kids come in off the bus. Oh, that's a joy. You want happiness? You stand at the gate there some cold Monday morning. Hey, good morning. So good to see you. That's what I get. That's what we see. Man, I love those kids. I love when they come in. And, you know, sometimes some come in, not your typical normal tired. You know, they have this, like, big red patch right here. And it's like, what happened? Or did you get hit? Oh, no, I just woke up. Oh, okay, gotcha. Some of our kids have a long bus ride, get up early. But I love our school. I love what we get an opportunity to do. I love chapel services. I just love it all. I do. And it's a blessing. You might be thinking, hey, that's great, but I don't have kids in our school. I don't have kids. Today just doesn't pertain to me. And I want to put something forth to you that Christian education is much more than just Lake Ontario Baptist Academy. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We've already established Jesus Christ is the greatest teacher ever. And he says this with some of his parting words. He goes, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go into all the world and teach. I want you all to be teachers. Now, our staff loves this message. Oh, fulfilling the will of God. But it's much more than just a Christian school. The Bible says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The greatest teacher in this passage just commissioned all of us as Christian educators. I want you to go out and I want you to teach everybody my teachings. I want you to teach people to be Christians. That's our job. Every single one of us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The mandate of Christian education. Say, well, I didn't go to college for elementary ed or special ed or anything. It's not that. It's not academic. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. He commands us. He says all power was given to Christ in heaven and earth. And what did he do with that power? Jesus said in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." What are you going to do with that? I'm going to commission you to be teachers. And here's your field. The world. This past week, as I told you, I was in the classroom and in the junior high classroom. I think there's 11 kids, three of which were sick or absent on Friday. So I had eight students. Eight students isn't hard to keep track of. Until it gets towards the end of the day on a Friday. And it's like, hey, where is, we're missing one. Where's this one? Oh, I think they're in the bathroom. Oh, man, that was awesome. That would not be good. Mrs. Huber would not be happy if I lost one of her students. Nor would the parents. In some of our other classes, we have 14 students. Man, it's tough to keep track of everybody's needs. And we look at those 14 or 9. You go to public education, public schools, government schools, and some of those classrooms have 20, 25 kids in class. That's a lot of kids. You say, wow, that's a huge task. How could I be responsible for teaching 8 minds all at the same time, 14 people? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's a big task. The total land area of the earth is about 57 million square miles, of which about 33% is desert and 24% is mountainous, uninhabitable. Subtracting the uninhabitable 57%, we're left with a land area of 24 million square miles, or 15 billion acres of habitable land. That's your classroom. That's what you're responsible for. That's your field. When you go to school and college, they ask, they say, now you've gone through the preliminary courses, now it's start to, we're going to take your major and we're going to fine-tune it now to specifically of what you're going to work with. And you have to start making decisions. Well, I would like to be a history teacher, or I would like to be an elementary ed teacher, or I would like to, depending on the field that you would like to get into, if you'd like to teach college, that's a different course than if you're teaching elementary. If you want to teach kindergarten, that's a whole world in itself. Special ed, man, today there's some need for special education teachers. I want to teach teachers. Okay, that's a different course, a different field. For us as Christians, we've been given a field. What is it? The entire world. 15 billion acres of habitable land needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And it's our job. Say, that seems a bit large. The mandate for Christian education. I love this time of year. Well, not that time of year. I loved yesterday. Yesterday. How many of you do gardening? Anybody garden? Okay. At our house, we have a plot. It's about this big. And then we have probably like three more of those. And every year we go and we figure out, because of where our house is and the shade and Trapper, we got to be careful. And so we pick out things that will work right there. And so then we go and we dig up the plot and we plant it and we determine what we will be planting. We work the soil. We just have a little section. What I'm saying is just till your little section. Do your area. $15 billion acres in the world. You're responsible for the one where your feet trod. If everybody does their part, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. We'll look at some verses this morning. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Every single one. A few weeks ago, we preached a message on whosoever. Maybe it was last week. 2 weeks ago, I don't know. The whosoever's. Hey, wherever you're at, whether Jew or Greek, educate. Acts 1:8. Familiar verses. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. I'm just saying, till your acre. Plot. Pick out your plot and work it. Work on teaching the teachings of Jesus Christ in your area. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 tells us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, what? He will not depart from it. Yes, not only am I responsible for the entire world, but I'm responsible for my home. My responsibility, my field is my home. Your field is your home. Now, sometimes the Lord will allow you to step outside of that and work with others. Praise the Lord for the opportunity. I'm telling you, it is some of the greatest years of my life were spent in the Learning Center. I loved it. I loved it. It's so good to see Becca here, one of our former students. Man, I loved those years. Say, were they easy years? I told you Becca's here, right? Like, no. I didn't love it because it was easy. I loved it because I loved them. Hey, is it easy doing that in your home? No. We don't do it because it's easy. We do it because we love them. We train them because we love them. We teach them because we love them. Our problem is we don't love the outside world. Therefore, we don't teach. Till your acre. Work your home. Train. Training's hard. Hey, at work, you get a guy that can train somebody, he's invaluable. to the company. You get a lady that can take the things that she's learned in the workforce and pass it on to the next group. Her value is immense to that company. God is most pleased when we go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this, Matthew chapter 19. I love these verses in Matthew. Jesus Christ loved children. Say, how do you know that? I'll show you. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 says this. Then were there brought unto him little children. I don't know what you think of when you think of little children. Maybe 3, 4, 5, maybe 10, 8, 7. How about 7? Is 7 a good... Can we get a mental picture of a 7-year-old, 8-year-old? That's a little child. They're able to conduct themselves, sit, you know, they're going to sit with Christ so they can control themselves, have a discussion, all of that. So can we imagine, just for sake of making a mental picture of this, these little children, 7, 8 years old. Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hand on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them and departed thence. People bring little children to Christ, and the disciples are like, hey, get them out of here. Lord's busy. I'm not sure if you are familiar, but children take a large amount of your time and effort. I was here this morning, and you know, I'm standing there talking, and all of a sudden, there goes K-May. And there goes Mrs. McDowell. And here comes K-May and Mrs. McDowell. And there goes K-May. And there goes Mrs. McDowell. And then they both come back again. Children take time. Yeah. Hey, get them out of here. Jesus is busy. He's like, absolutely bring them close. Bring them right up to me. And he puts his hands on them and he blesses them, right? Isn't that what it says? He laid hands on them. The point I want to bring is verse 13. And there were brought unto him little children. We know the disciples didn't bring him. Who's responsible for little children? Parents. Although it doesn't say parents, I would say the obvious person or people that are bringing children to Christ are the parents. Your greatest responsibility is to bring your children to Jesus Christ. I'll read you a verse out of Joel 1 and verse 2 and 3. Just listen. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Do you understand that the things that you teach your children, they will then repeat to theirs? Say no. How many of you find yourself saying things that your parents said? I can't believe that. I told myself I'd never say those things. I said I'd never do dad jokes. But they're hilarious. You know, like, in your home, are you bringing your children to Christ? Hey, you have a field. And there's a mandate of Christian education. Not like Ontario Baptist Academy. There's a mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 17. Proverbs 29, 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. and he shall delight, and he shall give delight unto thy soul. Hey, in your home, correction is required. Say, no, my kids are perfect. Lies. Lies. There's no such thing. So correct them. Teach them. Train them. Because when they're old, they will not depart from it. They will give delight unto your soul. Your field. Your field of education. Well, number one, the world. Number two, your own home. But we need workers. You can't run a school without workers. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Quickly. Acts 13, 47. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Here Christ uses a couple individuals. Hey, can we make this message personal about us? Can we look at this and say, God, is this my responsibility? Just ask the Lord. Lord, is it my responsibility to teach all nations your ways? And see what he says. He can tell anybody anything. And he might come by and say, no, I don't want you to tell anybody about me at all. Don't say a word. Could he do that? Sure. He might say, I don't want you to bring me up in any conversation. I don't think he'll say that. But you ask him. You can ask the question like how my children ask me. Dad, I know you're going to say no, but... Lord, I know what you're going to say, but can I not tell anybody about you? Can I just keep it to myself and not warn anybody? Can I just hold it and just keep it good for me and not tell my family, not tell my neighbors, not tell my loved ones, not tell the people that you bring into my path? Can I just be silent about it? And you see what he says. Ask him. Because what I read in the scriptures, he's looking for people to go out and harvest. Because it's ready. There's people out there ready to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes he brings them right to you. Sometimes you got to go to them. Sometimes they're just down the hall in the bedroom, just off the up flight of stairs. And they're just looking for someone to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, I'm going to let the church do that. You know, again, you ask the Lord. Lord, do you not want me to tell my children about you? I don't think that's the case. We are all the workers. We are all the teachers. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken hearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Say, I cannot do that. Correct, but God can. And you just bring him to, you just bring them to Christ. This is what Christ can do. We're teaching people, not that they need me, that they need Jesus Christ. Our job is to get them to Christ. And they brought the little children. Who did that? Someone's out there bringing people to Jesus. And he validated it. He was all in favor of it. Don't you think, Lord, here's this one. I told him about you. Thank you. That's all you need to do. I'm working. But he needs workers. We have the field. We have some workers. The question is now, what do we teach? There's a lot of school curriculums out there. I'm again, talked to a lot of people, and we were just at this missions conference, sitting at the table, and pretty much every single time I have a conversation with like a family that homeschools or something, I'll say, what curriculum do you use for homeschooling? Oh, we use a combination of things, is what they say. Great, what works best? You know, and we start talking about it. I understand ACE is not the perfect curriculum, but it sure does work good for us. And say, are you looking to change? No, not. No. Because what we gain by it far exceeds what we would lose by getting rid of it. The material. Well, if the field is the world, what do you want me to take to them? Americanism. They need capitalism. No, that's not what they need. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is what they need. I told you what Hilton told us when we submitted all of our stuff to them. They've said this multiple times. We love this curriculum. We just wish we could do it without the Bible. Yeah. That's what they said. Could you imagine how thick the paces would be if there was no Bible in them? Yeah. You complete a pace in like 2 days. It's filled with Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. What's the gospel good for? Saving you. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. You know, we see people wearing a cross on their neck, on the necklace, or, you know, they see it on churches and go, what is the deal with that? Why is that a symbol of Christianity? Because this is what Christ died on for our sins. It's not just a, you know, oh, it's a T for transgression. No, it's not. It's actually a cruel form of punishment that Christ paid for your sins. The first step of the gospel. And after that, he was buried. So he paid for our sins. He defeated our sin. Victory over sin with the cross. But it didn't stop there. He was buried. And on the third day, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Not only did he die, but then by his own power, he raised from the dead. Not only did he have victory over sin, he also had victory over death. The gospel. Admitting, acknowledging that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. That's what we take. That's the most important lesson ever taught. That's the most important lesson anybody could ever express to anybody else. Maybe throughout the week you go into the classrooms and look on the whiteboards and, oh, the Pythagorean theorem, or, oh, you know, distance formulas, or, oh, a sentence diagramming, and all of these things. Hey, those are great lessons. The most important lesson is the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians 2, 2. For I determined not to know anything among you. For I determined not to know anything among you. Except for one thing, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said this, it doesn't matter what else you know, but you've got to know this. You need the gospel. Hey, if you're here this morning and you are not saved, I was talking to a young man this past week. Hey, do you know if you're saved? I'm not sure. Appreciated his honesty. Hey, if you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, you need the most important lesson ever given. That's the material by which we go out and teach. The gospel. I'm not trying to make people an American. I'm not trying to make people like me. I'm trying to lead them to Jesus Christ. Look at Titus chapter 2. I would like to show you lesson 2. Lesson 1 is the gospel. Lesson 2 in our Christian education handbook is this. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Say, where are we at in this message? We are almost done, All right? So just relax. We're almost there. I have one more quick point after this. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in a behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach, look at this, that they may teach the women, the young women, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Here's a list of things now that you've gotten after you've been saved that you are now responsible for teaching. Ladies, teach Christian living. Gentlemen are like, whew. I'm glad they didn't say anything about the young men. Verse 6, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. You know what? Our young men have to be taught those things. They have to learn sound speech. It says in verse 8, they cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Yes, the gospel is the most important lesson. The second most important lesson is then Christian living. What it means to be a Christian. And we're commanded to teach those things. The hard part is, a lot of those lessons aren't taught at a table. Or taught at a blackboard. Or on a DVD. They're taught day by day with our life. It's a big commitment. It's a really big investment. But it is well worthwhile. Lake Ontario Baptist Academy is not free to go to. It is not open enrollment, nor is it free. It takes a sacrifice, and I so appreciate parents that would sacrifice year after year to send their kids here. I mean, it's not crazy, but it is. There is an expense. Hey, teaching, there's an expense. Ladies, if you're going to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, you know what you're going to have to do? To love your husbands, to love your children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to your own, to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Men, if we're going to teach our young men to be sober-minded, you know what that means? You're going to have to be sober-minded. In all things, showing a pattern of good works and doctrine. You're going to have to know the word of God. How can I give something that I don't have? It's going to take work. The Lord is incredibly patient with us. He's not like, okay, now that you're saved, you better start studying, you better start memorizing. But he certainly encourages us that. Our material, the gospel and Christian living. Lastly, if I walked into Hilton Central School District and said, I'd like to apply for a job, what would you like? I would like to be the superintendent. Okay, well, there's a process. We have to bring you before the board. Where did you earn your doctorate? I don't have a doctorate. What do you mean I don't have a doctorate? You can't be a superintendent unless you're a doctor. What credentials do you have? What experience do you have? Well, none. I just feel like I could do a better job than the superintendent that's doing right now. A lot less days off. School through the summer. What credentials do you bring? Yes? Hi, my name is Nick Russo. I'm from Walker Bible Baptist Church. This is my son Samuel, and we're here to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you? By what authority can you give me that? Well, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, all power was given unto my Savior, both in heaven and earth, and He has commissioned me to come tell you something very important. The credentials I have not in my own, but the authority that I stand here today is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has all power. John chapter 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. John chapter 17, verse 3. For this is eternal life, that ye may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is Christ talking to the Father, saying, I have power, can you give it to them? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're called ambassadors. That means we represent somebody that's much bigger than us. When we go out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to do the work of God, do you understand that the mission cannot fail? Say, why not? Because it's not contingent on you and I. Say, I feel inadequate. I am no teacher. I stumble over my words. I can't do that kind of stuff. I get nervous. I get anxious. My hands get sweaty. God wouldn't ask us to do something that we can't do. He wouldn't ask us to give something we can't give. And the Lord is asking each and every one of us to get serious about Christian education. Say, what do you want? You want us to give to the school? No. I want you to plot. I want you to pick out your plot. God wants you to pick out your plot. And He wants you to dig it up. And He wants you to plant some seed. Amen. He wants you to bring some people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all in Christian education. All of us. So to what level are you involved? Has this message made an impact on your life that you're willing to go to the corners of the earth? Will you be involved in Christian education? One day we're going to have to stand before the boss. And he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or, why didn't you fulfill what I told you to do? You know, people are always asking, what is God's will for my life? Where should I go? What should I do? How should I don't know. I don't. Maybe you feel like you're just spinning your wheels. Maybe because you're not involved in the most important lesson ever given. Who was the last person you told about Jesus? Hey, we got some really great professions here. I'm not saying that. But at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, and we're stepping into eternity, what's going to matter? There are kids who are able to live in a 7,000 square foot house, but never met Christ. We are responsible for Christian education. Let's all stand. To what level are you involved in? Say, Pastor, right now, all I can handle is my home. Great, do that. Do it to the best of your ability. Because what they're going to be taught, they will teach the next generation and the generation after that, it says. Maybe you can step out a little bit. Maybe you can go into some of the corners of this earth, all 15 billion acres, and put your foot down somewhere and share the gospel and Christian living. We will be asked about it one day. God is going to follow up. We all had that boss that made all of these promises and never followed up. That's not like Jesus. That's not like the Father. He follows up. He's going to ask about what he has asked you to do. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Can we have no one looking around? Can we do that? No one looking around. Close your eyes. Say, I get a little dizzy. Okay, then sit down if you need to. But this morning we talked about the gospel. And we asked this question, if you were to die today, do you know that if you would spend eternity in heaven? Do you know that you're saved? If you don't know that, if you don't have 100% confidence in that, if you don't know that your sins have been forgiven, not because you've done great things in your life, but because the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you from your sin, if you want more information, or just simply raise your hand and say, Pastor, can you just pray for me? I have that question. Can you just pray for me? No one's looking around. Can you raise your hand just so I can pray for you? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to pick on you. I don't know. I don't know. All right. Still no one looking around. I'm going to ask this second question. Say, Pastor, the message touched my heart. I've been neglecting my responsibilities. Would you pray for me? I'd like to get more involved in Christian education, not the school, but being a bolder witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you pray for me? Anybody like that? Sure. All right. You can put your hands down. In a minute, the music's going to play. Up here, we have something called an altar. It's just honestly a set of stairs.